KCBC, Destination Global. Music is life. Life is love.
I have a dream today. By any means
necessary. No sense at all in having those feelings unless they are utilized to enlarge tuna.
So, I am not standing for violence, but I do stand for self-defense.
Yes, yes, yes. It is time for Generation X here on KCBZ. Ah, boy. Once again, as usual, I am glad to be here. I'm Eric B. We have the lovely Keisha Lewis.
What's up?
AKA Lisa.
We fired Lisa.
Tell the children the truth.
My man, Will Sapp. What's up, man?
Again?
He got the same one from last week.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we have a guest with us today. Man, this brother is so powerful. Let's see. How do I introduce him? Let's
another
see.
He is an
artist, beyond artist, an advocate, outspoken, author, poet, MC, fanatic, producer, philanthropist,
multi-hyphenated
facilitator, all these different things, man. He just got too much going on.
Black.
All day. If I'd have known, he just popped in on us. If I'd have known, I'd have gave him the introduction of all introductions. You know what I'm saying?
That was kind
of
good.
But just off the top, man, I'm gonna let you know that this is one of the dopest dudes I know. Straight up, straight up. He's
because all I got was that's Will.
Hey.
I be here every day.
All I got was that's Will. That's just weird. I gave you a dope one your first show, your first time on the first
show. But he could use that and stuff.
You know what I'm saying? Here it is, man. We got my man Anthony Jackson. What's up, brother?
Multi.
You just try to slide yourself into all my accolades.
I need some of that.
It's going to be hard to breathe in here if you kept going anyway. My head would have filled up. With
another classic.
Yeah. What's up, people?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Blessed.
Good. I'm gonna actually pull your mic in a little bit more on you.
How about right there?
Right there. Sounds good. All right, so how y'all feeling this week?
I'm good. Pretty good.
Just like last week, but different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Looking forward to change.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What kind of change?
I think change could be positive or negative. I think just the fact that it's a process and it's necessary if you want to continue to grow. I welcome all change, really.
Yeah,
especially kind of Chang Lang. I like quarters.
Check it like it like. That's what's up, man. How about yourself? How you doing? You just kind of popped in on something nice.
Yeah. If you don't mind, I'll just check in with you.
Yeah.
With some of the work that I do, I work with children and among some of the other things I do. And I had this situation where I was the only African American in the room, and I was asked by one of the elderly white women if black people float. And see, it's crazy, right? Because everybody has asked me, they've repeated it back to me. Do they vote? Do they smoke?
Right.
No, she asked me, do black people float? And so obviously that's a problem on a lot of different levels. But I think one of the heaviest types of, and I don't know if we're going this heavy today, but one of the heaviest types of racism that gets swept under the rug is scientific racism, where people use different...
I've seen you put that in... Okay, that's
in
why...
In the email. Yeah.
Okay.
Like we're not all mammals, you mean?
It just happened a few days. People using... people using whether it's some of the old school anthropologists that were racist themselves,
the bell curve theory,
all of this, so, and I just think that there's people that are certainly aware of it, but I don't think that it gets discussed enough. So things like someone asking can black people float continue to float around,
right.
And the person wasn't happy about it when I told him, when I said, well, you know what, as
actually,
a kid, that was part of my favorite pastime was floating. And when I said that, she says, well, are you sure?
Mm-mm.
And I said, yeah, I'm pretty sure I was floating. Yeah. And she said, well, were your arms moving?
Oh, man.
Really? Well, your arm's moving? And I said, so are you trying to explain to me what floating is? I said, I was floating.
Yeah.
And then she says, well, that can't be right. And I'm a professional. I don't remember if she said she was a professional swimmer or if she said she was a professional lifeguard or something to that. And this is how I was trained. And you're physiologically unable to float. I said, let me tell you something. A stereotype is defined as, well, let's simplify it. If one person goes against what you say is something that covers all those people, then the whole thing has to get thrown away.
Uh-huh.
So if just one or five black people of 100 of them can float, and you say that they can't, then that's a stereotype. I said, so at this moment, I've just told you that I can float. Therefore,
no longer
possible. And not only that, I said, what you can do that could help this, speaking of change, is the next time you're around a group of people and they say, well, I heard black people can't float, you can be the hero that steps in and say, no.
Nope, I know one.
Right. You might want to.
Might be only one that you know, but you know I know one.
What are my black friends?
That's my best friend, too.
Right. Because I have one of them, too.
Yeah.
you know?
Right.
And so, so it was just kind of, crazy. And I found myself having to, other white people in the room, you could tell that they were equally as disappointed in the question, and I found myself having to go all the way back to where these things start and then bring them all the way up to date now, starting back with the shackle and the ball and throwing those Africans over the water and then saying, well, let's see if this N-word can swim. I don't know what kind of, if we can say the whole word on this show, so I'll just say the N-word, right?
That's all
right. Let's see if they can swim and then throw them overboard because they're sick from having to live and eat in their feces and all of that different stuff. So I took her from there all the way to one black toe dipped into a pool once we got here, right? And that damn throw away all the water. And then when you're disenfranchised in your certain neighborhoods, then of course some people couldn't afford to swim, but it didn't mean they couldn't.
They didn't have the opportunity. Yeah.
The opportunities. All the way till we end up discussing, and then there's certain women that, and it doesn't mean that they're all African American, but women who have kinky or curly hair, if they're wearing it straight,
not going anywhere near the water.
None of which means you can't swim.
Yeah. Right.
You can't float.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking.
He meant float in the air,
in
right?
In the air. I'm like.
So, hey, Mikey.
You thought he meant hovering.
I'd have been like, Jake, watch this.
Just float away.
Hey, watch. Hey, look. That goes into showing something. You just have to let something go on. Because when he started the conversation, that's why I repeated it.
Yeah.
I was like, float in the air? Because I missed anything that had to do with pools.
Yeah, water. I wasn't thinking water.
And so I was thinking that, too. And I was just like, let me see how he went on. And so, I kept silence. Because I'd have been there saying something. She caught it.
Thank you.
She caught it.
I was like she floating away.
When I said I could, because now it makes me think, well, when I was saying that I told her I could,
maybe she was thinking.
I know what these two thinking.
I was waiting to see what you said. Like, I was sitting there like, this is about to be good.
Yeah, because like, I'd have been like, yes, I can float.
Like, and I never.
Let me start hovering.
Let me clarify. Did you ever start that conversation with a swimming pool or anything?
No.
Like water?
He just said a white lady.
And I was just like, oh, he's about to. And I thought he was about to go on some, like, seriously spiritual, mental elevation of the black man, and
That's another topic. We can float above all this hypocrisy and nonsense.
We wrote a song. So there was a song written about it.
It was going somewhere. And then
my name is Charles, and I'm a Libra.
The water. I was just like,
to each other less now.
I was just like, oh wow.
They were a little slower.
Yeah.
But on top of that, when she didn't believe you, you go, then why are you asking?
Then why are you asking? That was the greatest.
Why are we having a conversation?
That was the greatest.
Yeah.
That's how you ended.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. You believe that. All right. Conversation is over. Because knowledge in her world does not exist.
Hey.
So don't waste your time. Don't waste your time.
Hey.
Hey. This is true. But I'll say this. I had to take my own medicine.
Right.
I am certainly one of those who says, you know what? Part of the thing is we're so sensitive about our individual cultures that we sometimes make it real arduous for someone else to get in. And so sometimes I take those moments in order to have teachable moments for the rest of the room so that we can all learn something from this person's ignorance. Let's expose that ignorance in a bigger way, right? And so I didn't do it for her. I did it for the people that were surrounding her.
Right.
No, that's right.
Right.
That's what's up, man.
And that's all situation and circumstance.
I love it. I love it. Situation and circumstances. You can check it out here on KCBZRadio.com every second and fourth Tuesdays at 7:15 p.m. starring our guests Anthony, Mr. Classic Jackson, and TBT, the best team. That's every second and fourth Tuesday, 7:15 p.m. here on KCBZRadio.com. Hey, it's time to get this thing started. Today, we have talking about on-demand television, video on-demand. Is it good or bad? We're going to talk about Boyz II Men and Jodeci, that battle, and then we're going to also talk about Poetic Justice. Usually we sit around inside the 70s and the 80s today.
Yes.
Generation X is sitting inside the 90s because we encompass all that goodness. So we're going to hang out in the 90s today and have a good time. So keep it locked. We here, KCBZ. Listen, it drives you wild. One in a million, fool for your baby. One in a million, listen, it drives you wild. One in a million, fool for your baby. One in a million, listen, it drives you wild. One in a million, fool for your baby. One in a million, listen, it drives you wild.
I'm one in a million from the Vernonville. I work it out and wait to get curls. I made it sell more joints than we are the world. Flows and old bros and new foes are open and close shows, so never those attention. The record's representing the uptown jazz sound, and chicks start mingling. Now let's watch a flick by John Singleton. Pete Rock and CEO Smooth is in the Mecca house building, cause this funk is one in a million.
One in a million,
we
on the band. One in a million,
we listen, we on the band.
One in a million, we on the band.
Poetic, energetic rhymes that I'm dropping on you. Justice must this be hotter than a sauna. You know the boy Wonder Mechadon's got the soul. The black brother's in control, now it's time to roll. We kick the flavor, neighbor rappers when you need a savior. We're the two-man band and everybody favors. Check the resume as we sit back and parlay. I'm on the job like the mob every single day. 93, no shorts, music is my sport. The hot metal's on my waist, brother, here's a taste. In your face, the bass, chilling like a mass villain. Nobody better, cause we're one in a million.
One in a million,
we on the band. You know the bump jump can damage your rump and dump Lucci in a lump and leap higher than the Reebok pump. My thumb's down, wicked and rallying me while you're down. Smooth is new now. Many call this my poetic justice. So my fist can dismiss your hit list. Here's another twist. Listen, in fact, I want my cheeks kissed. Roots and now loops and Tim Boots. The funk is on shoots. Now my sound trains new recruits. Hey, Mecca roll the more I tour to get my firstborn. It's a boy, now my name lives on and on. Rip and tear, fully aware that I can scare a cocky new pair. Slide him and got him to the rocking chair. Up and away, I'm trying to play the classic of today. Hip hop, non-stop, collecting ghetto props. Drilling gorilla holes I feel because we're here to make a killing. Cause this funk is one in a million.
One in a million,
we on the band. There is no competition.
The internet has completely changed the way we watch television. Gone are the days when the whole family would gather in the living room to enjoy the exact same program as everyone else. Technology has advanced to the point where we've dumped the old immovable boxes in favor of our phones and computers. In today's world, you can watch whatever you want, whenever you want, on demand, straight from the internet. We are now in the age of video on demand.
Video on demand. You listen to Generation X on KCBZ. Keisha.
Yes.
Video on demand. Do you think that that's enhanced or hurt on-screen television? The fact that at any point you can watch. I know at some point we talked about there. At some point it's like TV is just always on. Mm-hmm. Right? Do you think it's gotten to a point where being able to just watch what you want, when you want, has affected our generation, the new generation, any generation in a good way or a negative way?
I don't know if it's good or bad for the consumer. I think as consumer, it just feeds our need for instant gratification. But I do think like Netflix kind of like has their own original movies. Mm-hmm. So it probably takes away an actor or an actress's ability to kind of stand out. Mm-hmm. And they probably make money off of their box office hits like they always have. But Netflix, I don't know if Hulu does the same, but they're kind of like flooding the industry with actors and actresses who are just getting started and maybe don't have a lot of stardom. Mm-hmm. And haven't had a lot of experience, and kind of flooding the market that way, so where it may be harder for mainstream artists to make as much money as they might have in the past. But I'm not really sure about it. But it seems like to me that would be an issue.
Yeah. Will?
I think it's great.
Think it's great?
Mm-hmm. I told my dad the other day, I feel sorry for y'all. I have to wait a whole week for your show to come back on. I was like, you had to carry all your records around? Like,
yeah.
I got every movie in my pocket.
Right.
It's a great thing. And kind of piggybacking on what she was saying, it's giving a platform.
Why you saying like, your boy. That's your boy.
Tell the children the truth.
That's your boy.
It kind of gives a platform to everybody.
He wish he had that one.
I know.
You know. Hey, man, don't get mad.
He gonna cry in the car. He gonna cry in the car. It gives every creative person the platform, and it goes back to the phone.
Yeah.
It's now a video camera,
right?
So you could shoot a movie on your phone,
right?
You can upload it and distribute it yourself, through iTunes.
Yeah,
you got your distribution force. But like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, Sony has all these different streaming services where you can attach yourself. And actually Netflix has been the greatest, has pushed out the greatest amount of content the last year. They've increased their content of original programming.
Yeah.
Because they have allowed a platform for up and coming, not even up and coming, people that have fallen out of the mainstream per se.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's crazy is now it's become the mainstream. So now they're included with mainstream movies. Yeah. You see Netflix movies being talked about in the same way that mainstream movies are talked about. You're seeing them being released in the theaters and on Netflix at the same time, or on Hulu.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's been a few movies where they've been released at the same time on both platforms.
Yeah.
So it's expanded the universe, and it's given everybody the same kind of starting point for the most part. And a lot of movies that you might not have seen, you get a chance to see. There's a lot more range of movies that are out there.
Yeah.
So I think it's better for the consumer.
Does it ever become too much TV? Anthony?
I don't know. Like, what exactly is too much TV?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. One of the things I think about what Obama said about, trying to break the monopoly, right, of phone carriers and the cable carriers and that kind of thing. And so what I think is that thanks to Netflix and Hulu, they are able to break up that monotony, and this should cause other prices to go a little bit down, because cable's ridiculous right now.
Cable is ridiculous.
Yeah.
YouTube actually has a service now, $40 a month.
So does Hulu. It's the same. So does Sony.
Yeah.
They have this where you can actually... But I don't
I do it through Hulu. I stream everything.
Okay.
You know, you get your live TV, you get your sports, you get
right.
everything that you want to watch is right there.
Yeah.
Well, I think it could be too much in the sense of, like, anything that's an addiction, like, mm-hmm. right? Like,
yeah, too much broccoli.
Playing Candy Crush too much. You know, or so I think anytime you're spending a certain amount of time looking at a screen, then there's some danger in that.
Mm-hmm.
But whether the content is on there, I think that's just, that turns into any and everything, and any other way that you would get the information otherwise. It could be dangerous all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's dangerous to spend that much time on the screen, I think.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like, okay, so there's this time where, like, we talk about, like, losing the essence of humanity almost. Like, just the fact that, like, there's so much. You used to, if your favorite show came on Tuesday at 8, you had to wait till Tuesday at 8 mm-hmm. the next week to watch it. And do you think that there was something to that that's missing by not having to wait that week?
Nope.
Oh, you mean like being able to binge watch a whole series?
Yeah, being able to binge watch a whole
series at a time.
In a day almost, or right. 2 days. Do you think that there's something lost in our patience as people?
Our patience has yes. been destroyed, though.
You think it's been gone?
Yeah.
So video on demand doesn't add or take away from it?
No, it blends into the lives that we live now. Because now Netflix will release a show. It's the whole show. You
right.
know, you got the 12 episodes right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and you feel good. You ain't got to wait till next week.
But then you don't have to go to the movie theater either.
Right.
But right?
And so now all the actors that used to have to wait to seeing a big blockbuster film, they can't make no money at the movies, now they got to come to TV, right?
But they're making it on Netflix, and they're still getting paid blockbuster money.
Do you think Netflix is going to be sustainable, though? Because they're based off of a subscription.
Yeah,
so the only way to sustain that is to continue to grow subscribers, but there's a finite...
Or increase prices, which will happen when all of a sudden that becomes the only source. Like, if all the great... Mm-hmm. It's challenging Hollywood to do better, right?
Okay.
Because if you have a good movie that's coming out in the movie theaters, you're going to go see it at the movie theaters. Like, if it's a big blockbuster... If you have a history of releasing quality, if your history and pattern is releasing crap, I'm uh-huh. not going to spend $20 to go see a crap movie at the movie theater. We're not going to wait a week and part of my $20 a month service, I can watch it at home. So if you create quality, or you create movies that are only available on, you know, the 3D IMAX screens, because you're not going to get that same experience on. And that's why you see movie theaters are changing their whole concept. Now you can order alcohol,
right.
you can order at your seat. Yeah, you can order at your seat. So they're adapting
mm-hmm.
for that, because they want it to be experience. Now the experience is going to the movies, yeah. not necessarily the movie. So it's causing them to adapt. And I think that's important, because we don't become stagnant, you know?
Okay.
You know, so yes, it's taking away, just like music stores uh-huh. are taking away, but mm-hmm. things are adapting. And we have to pivot. How do we pivot? You know, so I don't think it's necessarily good or bad. It's just now we're in a new realm. How do we deal with it now?
Yeah.
You know, I like the fact that I can watch whatever I want to watch, because when you stand in DMV,
uh-huh.
if I got a whole 12 episodes to watch, it's not that big of a deal.
You can watch it right
deal.
There.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. I'm standing in line.
Do you feel like all, like, the video on demand, and I believe, I don't know if we hit stream, but the video on demand and just the ability to tap in to this visual, like you said, Anthony, like looking at any screen too long, do you think it's detaching us, though? Because like you say, like, families don't have to sit down and eat dinner before the show comes on. They could just, from the time they get there, pop that thing on, like you say, in the line at the DMV, they right there. You know, even, and you could be driving, and now, you remember, it used to be illegal to have TVs on right. in the front of the car, but I look and I see TVs, you know, phones
the
with
phones,
the videos
yeah.
in every car I look around. It's like, dang, they driving and watching TV, like...
Well, I think we were detached. I mean, so we were detached way before.
Yeah, I was going to say
Netflix
before that.
Movie. We were detached as soon as they gave us a portable computer that was mm-hmm. convenient for us to carry all over the place.
Yes. Okay.
Hulu just jumped in line. It's like, we need a piece of that.
Your phone is a portable computer.
Right, 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 right.
So,
right.
yeah, so I think that's where the detachment came from. And then if you look at it, mm-hmm. even if you go back before the phone, television was already starting the process of detaching us. It's just that mm-hmm. the computers and internet and the whole IT movement just fast forwarded it and went accelerated everything.
Yeah.
But it was going to happen even if none of those things existed, and it was just the TV. The TV was just going to keep getting smarter. Yeah. It was going to keep. They were going to keep finding ways. As soon as we went from back in the day when a television was very expensive for some families, and they did only have that one in the living room, mm-hmm. and everybody
and it was
around.
Furniture.
It was furniture. Even after it stopped working, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still had the TV there, like a big deal. It was nice. Got the family pictures on it. Uh-huh. But I think that I'm thinking about, we had that one in the room, and then as we got older, and by the time I was a teenager, then my sister had one in her room, mm-hmm. and I had one in my room, and even though mine was, I think, started off black and white or something.
Yeah. KBHK.
So I think that was already happening. And then even way back then, if you were rich, you had a TV in your car back then. That really wasn't a new concept you think.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah. So it was just, and the phone was in the car, remember? So all of this was like, it was already...
It was set up to happen.
You think about the VCR, and when the whole purpose of the VCR is so you didn't have to wait till Tuesday. You record it, and you can watch it when you want to watch it.
Right.
You
know, I thought about the VCR.
Yeah, it's like you record. Okay, I'm gonna record my show.
Right.
And I'm gonna watch it when I want to watch it, because that was the old school binging. You record all your shows,
and then you can go back and watch them
when you want to watch them.
Okay.
So that's the whole concept.
What you gonna say?
Oh, I know. I was just agreeing with what he said. That's true. But you know. I remember my first smartphone, right? Uh-huh. I was with the agent who was selling me the phone, and one of their main points to me was, you'll be able to watch television on this.
Okay.
And I said, you know, that's the last thing I want to do is go from, you know, society has us groomed to want the largest screen mm-hmm. we could find in a television. I don't have a television in my bedroom, mm-hmm. but... then you want me to watch a movie on this small, tiny screen? I told them that's absolutely not what I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm just not going to do it.
Right.
Maybe it's because of the time period I came from. I just didn't think it was going to be a good look.
Right.
You know? Right. And they told me, oh, when you're on the train or when you're on the bus, you can just watch your shows and you do what you want. And I thought, negative.
Now, have you found yourself using it or no?
No.
No.
You'll get there.
You say,
but you know what I did do last night? I did, I will say this. I did go to Google Play so I could freshen up on one of the movies. I didn't have a chance to do the second one, but I did play it, but I was at work. So it was playing as I was moving around and doing things. I wasn't necessarily focused on the screen, but I'm not a Hulu Netflix user.
Give it time.
But a lot of people are. I know a lot of my friends are. And I usually am the one that's like out on another planet by myself, so they want me to think. But no, it's just, that just doesn't entertain me.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you found yourself being someone that does not watch a lot of television, do you find yourself having a different almost viewpoint on the way of the world or the way things are than the people surrounding you that maybe watch
all the time
more TV, a little more or a lot more?
Yes.
Yeah, in what ways?
Well, I prefer human interaction, right?
Yeah.
I prefer to do activities together, you know, so I work with a lot of children and families that are in trauma. So a lot of times I want the children to interact with me and for us to do group activities, you know. And, you know, when I was young, we weren't allowed to say I'm bored, right?
Mm-hmm, no.
That meant you either needed a whooping
or you needed something
else to do.
If you was bored, I'm about to put you to work.
Right, and you'd be scrubbing ceilings and floorboards. But, you know,
now
I look at the kids and it's like, if it's not a video game or if it's not their parents' cell phone, what are we going to do? And so I'm like, let's exercise. And they were like, what?
Right.
What is a jumping jack? So, you know, I'm lining them up and we're doing jumping jacks together. I got them stretching. Yeah. And now it's like I can't come through the door without the children looking to me for activities that have something to do outside of a video game or their parents' cell phone or YouTubers or, you know, Instagram, you know. But that's the way I came up, you know. And my mother wasn't that way. So maybe if she was a little different, I'd be affected a little differently. But I'm a sum total of my life experiences, right?
Yeah.
So I just don't get a lot from it, you know? But I live with an 83-year-old woman, and we shell peas together.
Right,
and we talk and laugh, you know? Yeah. We talked the other day about...
That sounds so boring.
Right, but you see that's for someone who doesn't have.
Right, but you see that different output.
Right,
that's
right.
That's my question.
So
right?
Grandma and I were talking the other day, right? She's talking about what's in her will and what's going to happen and how nothing in the house is in her will, right? And so yeah. I said, well, perfect, because if something happens to you, I'm pulling chandeliers out the ceiling. I'm going to be in the bed with your fur coat on, right. laying here not answering the door right. for people.
Right.
And, you know, we laughed about it and we marveled at the fact that we have this time together and it's so precious, you know?
Yeah.
And when you lose that person or that moment, you know, you'll have those memories to live off of to yeah. keep you going strong. That's how I feel. And so I just don't know. I don't think that they have really harmed us too much. Like Anthony said, it was already in the plan. It was already in the works, right?
Yeah.
But to stay where I'm at, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
You know, and my friends are like, "What? You don't watch this show? You haven't seen that movie?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I haven't, but I have a lot of other great things that I have done."
Yeah.
You know, and some people aren't a part of great things in life. You know, I went to the Congressional Caucus in 2016 with a youth mentoring program mm-hmm. out of Washington, D.C. And was it last summer, one of the young men, I can't remember his last name, his first name is Michael, he was chosen to all of the Ivy League colleges. I believe he got accepted into 20 different colleges.
Okay.
And that was a child that I was chaperoning to D.C. And I was so excited, right? Like, it was my child.
Right.
I was like, oh, my God. I was right. screaming. And then somebody asked me, well, why are you so excited? Did he acknowledge you? And I said, no, that's not the point.
Right.
That's not the point. People go through life without being a part of anything big at all other than themselves.
Right.
And yeah. so me marveling in that, me being a part of it, me mentoring him and telling him, you go, and me being there, watching them throughout the different workshops we attended, and just being a bright young black man was yeah. exciting for me. But a lot of people don't find excitement in that.
Right.
So
that's real. But I look, hold tight, we'll be back. It's Generation X.
I really want you. was television. Then there was cable. Now there's Netflix. The nearly ubiquitous streaming service has 124 million subscribers worldwide, including 56 million in the United States alone. That's more than the top six U.S. cable providers combined. But Netflix's takeover of the living room isn't nearly as shocking as its recent invasion of Hollywood. Over the last 5 years, Netflix has amassed a huge slate of hit original shows, high-profile comedy specials, and mind-bending documentaries, putting it in the league of corporate giants like Time Warner, Fox, and Disney. The company is 20 years old, but investors are valuing it like a hot startup. Netflix's stock price doubled, giving it a valuation of $165 billion, which basically means that Disney World, ESPN, Pixar, Star Wars, and the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe combined were worth less than Netflix.
Man, Generation X.
Combined.
Mm-hmm.
Combined. Netflix is worth all this combined?
Combined.
They right. said when they threw Marvels in there, like Star
it's
Wars.
Gone too far.
Right. Star Wars.
Right. It, I don't know. I'm asking. Like, I enjoy video on demand. Don't get me wrong. I think it's dope. I got a chance. Several of the shows that I got a chance to watch were because of
Yeah, you learn some new stuff.
You, go back. There was a show that was on for a long time called Lost. Mm-hmm. And I never watched it when it was on, but I saw that on Netflix, right?
Right.
But then there's this, so I think it's great. But then there's this other side where I feel like there's something that gets lost when you can do, when you can get what you want immediately, it begins to lose patience. Same thing with music streaming. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to, to a degree, you still have to wait till the album is dropped, right? But you don't have to, they don't release the first single, then the second single, and then the whole album. Now it's like, just put out the whole album because it's just cost effective and it's
and
out,
And there's
right?
something about going down to the record store on Tuesday.
Right.
And stand in line. And
there you remember, go. So, and for me, it was something about being able to wait because, you know, Cosby was coming on Thursday
on
night.
On Thursday night.
And it was like.
And then talk about it at school the next day.
Yeah. And you knew it was coming on Thursday night. So everybody watched it at the same time.
Right.
And so the next day at school, everybody got to talk about it. You don't, like right now, if there's a show coming on, what is it? There was a show that just finished, The Mask. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what I'm talking about? There was a show, The Mask. People dress up and then they sing.
Oh, yes. I heard about
I almost gave the winner away. Shout out to the winner. If you haven't seen it, because see, with video on demand,
but see, I watched
if I give the winner away right now, there's people that haven't seen it.
Right.
See, I watched the first one because I had to wait till the next week, and I couldn't keep going.
Yeah, you couldn't wait.
Mm-mm.
So you're affected.
I'm impatient. I'm impatient by nature.
You don't think it has anything to do with the IT levels of how, like any of this that we're talking about? You think yours is just, you had it all your
life? It might be.
No, it is because I've known you a long time. There was patience. I'm not saying you don't, I don't know what your level is now.
No, I'm impatient.
But I do know there was a time period where you were very patient.
Yeah, I can be patient.
Because we would just have to sit there and be patient when we was working on low level equipment to record records.
Yeah, when the option is, like if there's options there,
yeah.
I'm not going to choose the patient.
Got you, when the option is there.
But if there's no option there,
then you
I can be patient, like it doesn't bother me.
I got you.
You know, it's like, once I know what the issue is, okay, that's the issue. It's not going to bother me now.
Got you. Got you.
You know, the funny thing about that is when I think about black movies, right, and black shows and that in general. And so I think about there was this time where any black thing that came out, a show, whatever, a movie, a sitcom, everybody, you know, people of color, we mm-hmm. watching that.
Yeah.
And so now we are at this time where, so when I hear you say that you wouldn't have the patience to watch this show that's hosted by Nick Cannon and which, you know, we have that luxury now, right?
Yeah.
Of saying yes and no. Like my wife will watch any black movie. Mm-hmm. I don't care how horrible the acting.
Oh, yeah.
She's going to watch the whole thing. And now she's kind of traveled out. Now she's watching, because of Netflix and Hulu and that stuff, she's watching like a lot of the African movies
that are hilarious.
She's watching it. And maybe she wouldn't be able to watch that if it wasn't for a Hulu or a Netflix and that kind of thing.
That's what I'm saying. They expanded platforms a lot of different people.
They did.
Know about.
That's true. Yeah. And that's the positive side.
Which is what I love about it. I love that. And it feels to me, Netflix and those kinds of places, Netflix, Hulu, and all those, they feel like the answer to some of the
hidden oppression that was that is out of our control in regular movie land or regular television land. Because of what they're able to do on that.
I can see that.
And so that's one of the things I love about it.
And that's why I was saying it's made it made Hollywood wake up, because now they can't just they can't keep all the black folks out. They can't keep all
that that's right.
color folks out. Because that's now we have a they have a platform. I can go to Netflix and now be on the same stage with you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and now all the, because it's good quality stuff coming through Netflix and Hulu, people are turning to that because you're giving us crap out of Hollywood. Or you're doing remakes because you're saying we don't have any ideas. All
right.
You know, so all the ideas are coming here through all these streaming services, and they're coming out, and people are like, this is way better than the $30 movies I got to go pay for.
Right.
So it's making Hollywood step his game up.
All right.
You know, so that's where I think the positive is coming from, just from the creation, the creative aspect of it.
All right. So we're on Generation X, so we got to tie it back into our generation. So our final words on video on demand. Do you think your experience growing up with television versus your experience now because of video on demand, is it better or is it worse from then to now? Keisha.
That's a hard one for me to answer. I think it's for like parents who have young children, I think it's a wonderful thing because they can keep the kids entertained while they get their regular things done.
Mm-hmm.
I say for me, I don't think it was better or worse.
Okay, indifferent.
Yes.
Indifferent.
Indifferent.
Anthony.
It is a hard question. I think it's better in terms of content and worse in terms of the experience of, how do I want to say, kind of joining us together. You know, I don't think it does anything to help bring us together socially.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think it helps that way. So it separates us, but it separates us with better content.
Yeah, I like that answer.
Well, it's like a false sense of community, like I was saying earlier. It gives you, because when somebody asks you, did you watch that? It kind of makes you a part of it, a community.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, we all watched this. Oh, yeah, we all watched it. We can talk about it. But we're doing it alone.
But you know? Doing it alone.
And then the other thing, TV growing up like in the 80s and in the 90s, it's like a little nostalgic when you think about certain shows. Mm-hmm. It gives you a certain feeling.
Uh-huh.
Like, I remember watching this. I remember, like, watching The A-Team or watching The Cosby Show. It's a different feeling. You remember the period and the time frame that you were in. And it kind of ties into your growth and your history.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's different now because everything is kind of coming. Because there's no set time on when to watch something.
Yeah.
It's just whenever. So you really can't pinpoint to what is what.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time stamp.
Yeah.
You know, so like TV shows before had a time stamp. Okay, this is, oh yeah, I remember watching The Cosby Show and being in junior high school and it felt good and this. And remember Theo had the Gordon Gartrell. And
yeah.
Like those different things you can't really recall now on TV shows.
Right.
Because they're so mixed together and they're so jumbled. It's all a big pile of TV.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that's really separated.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of TV. So I think that's missing just on the nostalgia aspect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kids don't have that coming up.
Yeah.
They're kind of just like, oh yeah, this is on. And there's so much of it that you can't even pull out from it and pinpoint one because there's so much.
Yeah.
There was less TV, less shows, I would say,
right,
on TV. So it was easy to pinpoint and say, oh, this I remember The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
This was the time of that. But now you have like a million Cosby shows. You know, you got a million different worlds. So it's hard to kind of pinpoint that time period.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. I think that it's been positive in the sense of the opportunities for people that are filmmakers, the opportunities for people to get their material to the public is definitely improved. I definitely miss being able to have a community around something that you might see. Like if there was a special that was coming on 2020 or something in particular that happened, everybody, you knew they were going to be gathered around watching that at a particular time, and then you could all have the conversation afterwards. You didn't have to worry about spoiler alerts or anything, because if you didn't see it, you wasn't gonna see it.
Yeah.
Right.
And so you know, you had to be there to see it when it came on. Mm-hmm. And so you could just talk about it, or you know, you didn't have to worry about somebody texting you before you got there and saying the answer. That's what I was bringing up about the mask, because I got text the winner before I got to see the winner.
Oh, no.
Or, you know what I'm saying?
Being on Instagram and seeing everybody on the East Coast talking about it.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So that element of it, I don't. But, I mean, overall, when you look at it, I would probably say, based on Generation X, I think we have a better experience. I think I have a better experience now with video on demand, because you do get to see more when you get the opportunity to see.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You do get to see more when you get the opportunity to see.
Mm-hmm.
Might not want to watch it as much as many do. But that's just an opinion, not a fact.
I mean, it all boils down to tell the children the truth.
Tell the children the truth. Generation X, you make your own opinion on how you feel about TV on demand and all that. But I do know this, Netflix is balling out, but I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain it. I don't know.
This is how they'll sustain it. Next month, your fees are going from $11 to $13. Sustained.
Sustained.
Nice.
Keep it locked. Generation X.
KCBC, Destination Global. Music is life. Life is love.
Yeah. Destination Global.
Yo, fellas, y'all ready to do this?
Yeah, yo, what's up, y'all? What's up, man?
What's up, man? Home. Boys are in effect, yeah. And it's about time. Yo, let's rip this up.
Boys the man. Boys the man. Boys the man.
Generation Next. Yes, that was Motown Philly from Boys to Men. Before that, we heard Forever My Lady by Jodeci, which is the next conversation, and it is a conversation that I have been wondering. And I've heard it wondered before, so I would like to say I was the first person to wonder it. But during the 90s, I was the first person to wonder it. You know what I mean? But Jodeci and Boys to Men, both dominant factors during the 90s. Both had a significant influence to the R&B game. But which one was actually better? Just hands down, man. Now, look here. I know y'all like to cop out and some impartial stuff every now and then.
Let me break it down.
I want to get into it. I want you to be unapologetically truthful.
Okay.
He's ready. I got a feeling he's just about to all out do it anyway. So... who was better, Boys to Men or Jodeci?
Well, you really can't say who's better.
Look at you.
Boys and Men was for the white folks because it was clean and nice and shiny. And Jody's Heap was for the brothers.
That doesn't really? Answer. First off, I don't agree. But secondly, that didn't even answer the question.
Jodeci was way better.
Jodeci was way better.
Whole
okay.
Level. Whole nother level.
So you say Jodeci was better.
Whole nother level.
All right, now.
Whole nother level.
I get the feeling whole that you think Jodeci was way better. Whole nother level.
Like, tell us how you really feel, Will.
Tell us how you really feel. You know what I'm saying? All right. Why?
First of all, they didn't have nobody whining.
They didn't have nobody whining.
Kanye was a whiner.
What was KC doing?
Right.
Ooh, he was like,
no, you know, whining. No, no, I'm talking about nasally. I'm talking about nasally.
Oh, nasally. 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 Okay.
I was like,
not whining. What are we talking about?
Not begging. Not begging.
No.
I'm not talking about begging. I'm talking about in his nose.
Okay.
He started, he started a whole generation of singers not really being able to sing, but just doing an.
You saying Wanye?
Wanye was Wanye because he was just, he spent all that time. He spent so much time moving his neck and not worrying about the key. I'm just gonna sing in all the keys. where Jodeci, they came with, it was the gravel, ground, gutter, dirt harmonies.
Yeah.
Chords on with the hip hopness on
I'm
the drums.
Eric
you see that? That's how you do it.
Yeah. Oh, is that what you were doing too?
He was mocking me.
Oh, I didn't know.
They were smooth and dynamic, and Boyz II Men was like, it's like a painting, and you know it's cleaned up all on the edges and made pretty for presentation for white folks.
Okay.
When you say that they did it for white folks, are you saying that that was the intent, or are you
saying it
just happened that, okay, so you're saying
white people gravitated towards them, they were less threatened,
but not that they were, that that's not what they were necessarily.
Yeah, okay. No, I don't think they were trying to do that.
I
don't think they're a sellout. I think they're an amazing group, but compared, we're talking about Jodeci and Boyz II Men, I think that was safe for white folks to be like, oh, okay, we can like some of this.
Right.
Because think about the time, okay, that music was still kind of, both of them were not really mainstream when they came out. You know, Boyz II Men really became mainstream and grew bigger after Babyface got with them. But when they first came out, that was still kind of, that was that ABC, BBD, what was from New Edition?
Bivins.
Mike Bivins. That was his creation. And his creation was more like a street, building off of Belle Biv DeVoe, which is more like a street hip hop smooth out soul on the R&B tip with a pop pill feel to it. So it was that whole type of thing of, that was his style that he was coming out with.
Right.
Like, it's R&B, but it's got that hip street feel. And so that was Boyz II Men was in that lane. You know, Jodeci was that, but even more so. I think they were kind of, BBD kind of birthed both of those groups. Because it's kind of that hip-hop feel. I think it was just a different type of hip-hop. Because it was more, you had Puffy and, I'm drawing a blank, Uptown was running Boyz II Men. And Puffy specifically wanted to mold Jodeci into a hip-hop group. You know, they were working with Father and MC, you know, and doing all his hooks and everything. And they were really that gravelly church. It was more church feel to it.
They were expounding on what had finally been accepted in terms of singing being with hip hop.
It wasn't cool before that.
And I think what was that? Friends with Jody Wiley and Rakim. And for me, that's what actually,
that's kind of what opened it up. Yeah,
right. Because it was like, it's Rakim, and if he's doing it, then right. God, then,
I guess it's okay.
It must be okay.
Yeah, that was the first blend.
Yeah.
Rakim, okay, that's what I kind of thought.
Rakim doing Friends with Jody Watley. That was the first R&B song to feature.
Specifically trying to do an R&B.
I mean, that's what get the claim for. Yeah. Yeah, Bobby had did one before that, but he was an R&B singer.
Doing hip rap.
Rapping.
Right.
But the first rapper to actually be on a R&B record rapping was Rakim and Jody Watley. So what about you, Anthony?
Oh, boy.
The weird thing is, I'm finding myself, it's kind of hard to answer, which is odd because I didn't really, like, I never bought any Boyz II Men. I only bought Jodeci.
Exactly.
Right.
And, point. And, but I loved hearing Boyz II Men. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was going to be a Grammy performance or something like that, I wanted to see Boyz II Men get down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's not to say I didn't want to see Jodeci, but I think that I don't know. And then my mind is like, it's blurred because of when I look at him now,
mm-hmm.
and it's like Jodeci seemed like a bunch of crackheads.
Was meth around back then?
With a stable piano player.
I mean, hey.
That's what that fire water. That fire water will do some things to you. I'm trying to tell you. That fire water.
A hell of a drug.
Yeah. Man.
So, you know, but I mean, hey, but you know, if I take myself back to that time, I certainly, in the moment, I was more of a Jodeci person, but then when Boyz II Men did that Say Goodbye to Yesterday, that really resonated with a young teenager who was seeing mm-hmm. his people die.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So then there was like, oh wow, that was played at every death at for some years mm-hmm. after mm-hmm. I mean, people still play it now, but it was played so much to where it was ingrained a different way.
Right.
So like Boyz II Men grabbed my heart and Jodeci grabbed my
soul.
I could go for that. I could maybe. I'm stuck. I probably, if I had to pick, it was going to be probably leaning more towards Jodeci.
Okay.
All right. I had to pick.
Keisha.
This is going to be a long one here, guys. Okay, so one year I found myself debating with a young Persian girl. She was in business for herself. She was a community activist, great young woman in Sacramento. And I was cleaning her house. That's what I did on the side. And we were talking, and I said, I'm on my way to the golf course. And she said, what? Black people don't golf?
Mm.
And I said, well, the blacks I hang around do. Yeah. It's weird, you know? Yeah. And I stepped back for a minute, and I thought, you know, it's like a unicorn.
For
a lot of black women that don't see that every day, it's like a unicorn, right?
Yeah.
You know, the college-educated brothers that had it going on that would go and hang out at the golf courses that did kind of have things to do, and they weren't the thugs that hung out in the streets. You know, they were. You just didn't see them so often, right?
Right.
And so I think I was raised to where I could listen to Boyz II Men before I could Jodeci. Boyz II Men was first, right?
Okay.
And then came Jodeci. So Boyz II Men was more acceptable in my household just because I was a youngster still.
Okay.
They didn't want me to be corrupted and listening to N.W.A. like my cousins were at that time. Not to say I didn't hear it. I heard Jodeci, but I had a Boyz II Men album before I had a Jodeci album.
That's the point. Okay.
Forever My Lady was the one. I did enjoy both bands. But Boyz II Men, I mean, they made music that was acceptable for my age group at the time.
Right.
I didn't have to sneak and try and listen to it.
Right.
I could play the music, and my parents would say, oh, well, who is that you're playing? And they would love it.
Right.
But I like good music. I've always liked music, you know.
Yeah.
Especially for bands that came out around the time Boyz II Men did, you know, the, what do you call that, Mint Conditions and things like that. So Jodeci was cool for my age group. A lot of my friends listened to it. I may not have listened to it as much just because I didn't want my daddy to come break the tape.
Right.
So
right.
I go with Boyz II Men.
You go with Boyz II Men.
Yeah, I go with Boyz II Men.
That's what's up.
That proves my point, though.
It feels like you went with Boyz II Men as a default.
I know.
It does, but that proves
my point.
But it was because I was exposed to them more.
They were safer. Right.
I was exposed to them first.
Right.
I'll say before Jodeci came along, it was Boyz II Men for me. Jodeci was cool as I was getting older, but you know, I was just going from junior high to high school,
right.
And I just wasn't allowed to do a lot of other things youngsters were. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying it's pretty cool. They're both good bands.
They were safer.
They're both good groups.
That's safer. My point.
I don't know.
My point.
I don't know if she's saying they were safer.
I'm just saying they were first.
But you said two things. Because you said
she said they might have been safer. You said no. Because I know where you're going. It was they were safer for her parents.
Right.
But it didn't make that become her choice though.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
But I'm saying safe in the general terms, meaning.
Right, but her, it was safe for her parents, so that's why she was allowed to them. That's why she was exposed to them first.
It was safe for her to listen with her parents around.
Right.
But then I liked the music, and they were before Jodeci.
It was all that jigaboo-ness going on over in Jodeci.
But they were before Jodeci, too.
They were jigaboo.
You jigaboo.
They were jigaboo.
No, I wasn't calling them jigaboo. I was just saying that. It was a difference. She said, I couldn't listen to this.
But I was exposed to real music, though, before I was my generation of music, because my father was a lot older, and they came from a lot larger families from the South and things. So I just was, my upbringing was a little bit different. Not to say that it was right or wrong. It's just, I am the sum total of my experiences in this life. Yeah. So, Boyz II Men, I mean, they both put out some pretty good music.
They did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Boyz II Men was dope. Jodeci was dope. And I think that they both brought different elements to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think, like, Jodeci, they brought what Boyz II Men was missing, which was that street element.
Right.
But I feel like just, and if, I don't want to say because it was safe, but I feel like Boyz II Men was able to expand their catalog. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To be able to touch more.
Yeah,
because Boyz II Men, like, they had that record,
Yeah. I couldn't listen to that from my parents.
See, and that's my point. Because you got to think about this. Like you said, they came from Mike Biv.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Biv wasn't whitewashed.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Mike Biv had spent a long time in the industry with New Edition. By the time he got to the point, he knew what he was about to do with this group.
Jodeci is what Mike Biv has wanted Boyz II Men to be,
or what he wanted BBD to be.
Right.
But that's who they were.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was.
That's
this,
who they were. He wanted them to be like BBD with vocals.
Yeah. He wanted Boyz II Men to be that New Edition that carried in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
Boyz II Men were. That's a big difference, because Boyz II Men were to me, the music was more mature.
Yeah. Right.
So what it is it's like we're comparing this mature music. For us,
Lady was very mature, and they came out the gate with
that. No, but you're picking a song out of an album. Mm-hmm. You feel me? I'm saying in the totality of it, I'm saying that Boyz II Men, even when they did that one, yeah, that was sexy and all of that. But to me, that was still grown and sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Jodeci was, it's like comparing Aaron Hall and R. Kelly.
Coincident,
only this way.
Love Aaron Hall.
Right? It's kind of like comparing that. It's like R. Kelly was more playful, and it was more juvenile and that part of it, and then that works. But then Guy, or you think of Less Chill and all of those, it was, you can do that one next time.
But Boyz II Men doesn't have a song to make up. Like when you hear dun 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 dun, oh baby, won't you stay? Like, oh, that's my jam.
That's my jam.
You ain't gonna do that with no Boyz II Men song.
I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I feel
you gonna have that same feeling.
I feel like Boyz II Men bring just as much. They just have different voices. You know what I'm saying? But I do believe that
the different audience.
I don't think it's a different audience. I think Boyz II Men includes a particular audience that Jodeci neglected. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. I believe there are songs that Boyz II Men sang that Jodeci could have sang as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And I believe there are songs that Jodeci sang that Boyz II Men could have sang.
Which one?
I believe Boyz II Men could have sang almost any of them. You know what I'm saying?
I can't hear them singing Stay.
Oh, they could have sang
Stay. Oh, yeah, easily.
They could have sang Stay. You know what I'm saying? The difference is, like you say, it goes back to Wanye and KC and the difference of their leads.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in terms of the song themselves, they both could have held each other's songs. It's just that their lead singers dictated something.
And
you know what I'm saying?
Targeting market, I think, was a little bit different because we were youngsters, and I think I didn't hear anybody really playing Jodeci outside of the crew that I ran with in junior high school. Mm-hmm. I mean, it might have been, the high schoolers may have been listening to it too, but I don't know that. But it just seemed that it was for, the targeted market was for ages like, 13 to 16?
For which group?
For Jodeci. Maybe like 13 to 16 was their target market. I don't know. But it seemed like it was a lot.
Or just in general teens.
I think they were
teens
and young adults. But right. Yeah, that whole
But they also kept their street element to them.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So when it, from their attire, from their
Which
gestures
still,
on stage,
street elements their, tend to seem to still speak to youth, though. Mm-hmm. So when you say the street elements, to me that still ties it to that same bracket. That you
but see, I think back then it would have because I was a youth.
But now when I still think about it as a, you know, older, I still when I think of street element, there is still a street element, and there's a you get what I'm saying that I don't tie to youth.
I think Boyz II Men had the benefit of working with Vivens because New Edition was supposed to be clean. Remember, they came up, they were supposed to be clean, but BBD was the opposite of that, right? And so I think he kind of wanted to blend both into Boyz II Men because they had vocals.
Yeah.
They had vocals where BBD lacked in vocals. I think he wanted them to be what BBD couldn't be because I think he recognized that vocally they could take it higher because there was that street element, you know, when they first came out. But I think Babyface, LaFace took them to a whole different level. Because when they partnered with Babyface, that's all of a sudden they became clean. They became the music.
They became the Temptations.
They went to a whole different level. You know, and I think that's the missing link between Jodeci and Boyz II Men. Because they were kind of similar when they came out. It wasn't really a big difference. It was like Boyz II Men and Jodeci. And then all of a sudden, they went with Babyface. They remake End of the Road. That's the number one hit, the biggest hit ever.
Yes.
You know, so that stuff, when they were on that Boomerang soundtrack and then they had their album, that took them to a whole different level.
Keep it locked. It's KCBZ, Generation X. wasn't all nasal. That was pretty open. Boys to Men, I'll Make Love to You. Yeah. So look,
put that baby face magic on it.
Yeah. And what was the brother with the deep voice?
Michael. Yeah. No, he didn't pass away.
He stopped. Sick. He left the group, right? Was it Michael?
One of their members had passed away too.
No, he got scoliosis.
You telling me that the deep voice guy in Boys to Men is still alive?
Mm-hmm. He can't tour with them no more.
I know he couldn't tour. I don't remember him passing away.
I don't want to wish nothing on him, but you heard it too, though, right?
I thought so. Because when I looked last night, when I was looking them up, it had like 1971 Teal, like to show that everyone was still living, and he wasn't on there.
Michael,
there was a bunch of pictures.
What was his last name?
Right.
I don't think he was like on the internet.
Sounds like that.
Yeah, I thought it was everyone else, like the songwriter was on there, like, and all the guys that are still alive.
Right.
Was there a number at the end of the dash?
No, not for. He wasn't even on there, actually.
Michael McCurry.
How sometimes websites can have different information.
Is 47 years old.
Okay, he is alive.
He stopped touring. He has a back issue.
Oh,
so, that's so sad. Somebody started a dash.
It went from him would tour with them while he was sitting down till he couldn't tour no more.
Oh.
Yeah,
I assumed that too.
Young killed him off.
And I remember they had a contract issue also over because he couldn't move and do all that touring. That's why he kind of had to leave.
And they decided not to replace him.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But his vocals are still in the show. So when they sing, his vocals are still there.
Yeah. Oh, how nice!
But my point was, his voice was nailing it on that.
Oh yeah, he was dope.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He was dope. So. All right.
Good old days when you could talk like this.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. They don't lie that no more.
Yeah.
They don't lie that no more.
You get it right down up in there.
Yeah, I mean, how'd that go away? How do you just all of a sudden it's not?
It's not new, though. They used to do that in the 50s and 60s. They would, on the right radio stations, they would take out the bass vocals of the black songs because it would scare the white people. That's
which
true.
Is why they didn't. That's a whole other story. Oh, which is why they didn't.
That's a whole thing because it's the whole thing about black women raping white black men raping white women, and the white men not wanting black men to attract the white women.
Yeah, I was gonna say okay. I wanted to hear what you said when you said scare because it wasn't a matter of scare like fear.
No, not.
Yeah,
it was them losing their women to the black men who had the deep voices on the radio.
Say, hey, baby, no.
Yeah.
But that was.
She called him and said, I ain't never coming home.
That was
like, what's that movie, Cotton Club?
There you go.
His wife and said, hey, baby, let me talk to your mama. I ain't never coming home.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that was a real thing. And they wouldn't play on the white radio station. They wouldn't play anybody.
Right. That's tied into race preservation.
Any of the videos with deep voices, they wouldn't play it.
Yeah.
It's like The Temptations. You wouldn't hear none of the deep voices on the radio station.
So, final call.
They do it.
All right, here we go. We're going to do it. We're gonna buckle in because I'm finding it real hard for me to make a decision personally. But we're going to do this for the record. For the record. Best.
Jodeci.
Jodeci or Boys to Men. Will Sapp.
Jodeci.
You're firm on Jodeci.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to say Jodeci.
Jodeci. Yeah.
Boys to Men.
Mm. Boys to Men. Mm. I'm so torn. I was hoping that y'all decisions might have helped. Because see, now if I go one way, it's going to be tied.
I know.
And if I go the other way, it's going to be that winner. I was hoping y'all would have picked the winner without me. No wishy-washy. Oh, this is so hard. I'm going to go with, boy, Jodeci.
Take your time.
Jodeci. I'm going to go with Jodeci.
Joys to Men.
I'm going to go to Jodeci because that's the only ones I could sing. I couldn't sing Boys to Men song personally. I could match KC's voice. I couldn't sing like Wanye. So I'm going to say Jodeci. But they do look like that Firewire is a dangerous thing.
Man.
But
especially
KC.
Yeah. KC won.
But now KC and JoJo by themselves. Them two was
that's
the thing.
Stevie Wonder one that Riveting was a rip.
Oh no,
Lately.
Yeah, Lately.
Well,
yeah,
that was the group. Yeah. That was the group.
That was the group. Matter of fact, let's.
That was Uptown Live.
They did another. They did Lately, but then I thought they did.
I think they did Ribbon in the Sky.
I don't remember them doing Ribbon. Wow, I thought that was the other group. One
intro.
That was intro.
Okay.
That was intro. But these brothers did do this one right here with a live version.
We got something special we're going to do for you. And I'm gonna call KC and JoJo at this time to do this. Some of you might know this song. It's an oldie but goodie. And if you know it, feel free to sing along with me and KC today. KC.
Cause he always
That whole album was dope.
Fire, fire. You're listening to Generation X. That was none other than Wilksy.
We'll see.
I'm gonna call him Jason.
We'll see.
Is that? We'll see, not JoJo.
That. I'm Lisa. He's Jason.
Right.
We'll see and Lisa.
We'll see and Lisa. That's the dude. We'll see Lisa later
tell
on.
The
we'll see Lisa later on.
Tell and, the children the truth.
All right, it is time to play Name That Tune.
Name That Tune. Name That Tune. Name That Tune. Listen and name that tune.
Yes, and so, here it is. We will play a record. You will have a few moments. We will see who clicks in first, basically.
FYI, I usually win all these. So since you're new here, I'll let you.
All
right. No shouting out. I'm just saying that for the house. No, nobody in particular.
Yeah, he's about to shout. He's about to shout.
All right. What's that? But Pellegrino water.
Man, is it going with the pretzels and the chocolate?
Man,
is that what he eating? I thought he was eating. I thought
hummus.
He said. He said. You saw that? Hummus. I thought he was eating, and then he was like, "I don't want to say nuts."
Yeah.
I know what happened.
Yeah.
I heard. I thought he was eating, and then
a source of protein.
I saw
it. It's healthy.
Call it how I hear it. All right, here you go. First record. All right, we got answers already. And the first one to chime in there actually was Anthony.
Dear Mama.
Oh, yeah.
It is Dear Mama.
Oh, did I just take your glory? Did I just take your win?
First of all.
In the building, and I'm feeling like, yee!
First of all, you a guest.
Well, guess what I just did.
So now,
I respect.
Additional point. Anthony, who sang Dear Mama?
Tupac.
There it is. Just checking. You know, we got to start it off right there where you can get it.
I almost said the wrong question.
He felt insulted. Like what is he asking
but
me?
See, a bonus point. Bonus point. bonus point. Joe Sample, who it was sampled from.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
There it is. Bonus point.
Bonus point.
Yes, give it up for Tupac with Dear Mama. That's what it was. This song was slapping in the 90s, man.
Dear Mama.
This song was slapping.
There.
Number two. Here we go. Get a little harder here. We got one that chimed in. Will Sapp. Who do
Genie
we have?
In the Bottle.
Genie in the Bottle. It is.
Christina Aguilera.
By Christina Aguilera. That was a banging song.
I was hopeful.
Right.
I was
like,
you should have saw your faces.
What kind of music?
You should have saw your faces.
Hold on.
You should have saw your faces. Are we in an arcade?
Yeah, is this from Fortnite?
I'm a finger away from the thing. Like, even if you play the whole song,
I don't want to know it.
Yes, that goes to Will Sapp, Genie in a Bottle by Christina Aguilera.
She's got a nice booty.
You say what?
Nothing.
All right, here we go. Here's the next one. All right, the first one to chime in here was Keisha.
Christopher Williams.
And what was the name of the song? Oh, Will Sapp just gave it to you.
Thanks, Will. Sleep.
Don't wake me.
You know, I like throw my voice, actually. I said it.
That was actually
I thought
you.
It was from him. It was actually me.
What was
that's
the name
I'm
of?
Dreaming.
That was Dreaming. There it is, Christopher Williams.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. All right, what movie did that come from? Do you remember?
Not New Jack City, huh?
New Jack Spray. No, New Jack City.
New Jack Swing?
New Jack City.
New Jack City. I heard it over there.
New Jack Swing. There was a scene when she was riding.
Yes.
Man, that was an amazing scene.
Yeah, it was. I remember that. Wow.
Yeah. Yes, flashback. Okay, here we go. Ooh, everybody chimed in on on this one. Boom, everyone chimed in on this one, but the first person to chime in actually was Will.
Like JoJo and KZ.
All my life.
That is it. That is it.
I pray for someone like you.
That is JoJo and KC. KC and JoJo. All my life. You hated this song?
Hated this song.
I really love this record.
The Mary Day.
You said two?
Yeah.
I thought it was Babyface wrote this one. Yeah, Babyface did write this. Right there.
Sounds just like him.
Doesn't really. That don't mean it wasn't a Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Mary was definitely over that cap by then, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mary had moved on to moving on. All right, here we go.
Moving on.
You know?
Moving on to moving on.
I told you. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, moving on to moving on.
Moving on to moving on, Miss Purdy.
Feels so great. Great, great, great. Can't be late.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm choking. On my own. All right, here we go. Oh, I love you guys. Here we go. Next one.
No wonder why. I know
who
the hell that shit is.
Hey, this is a super popular song. Yeah, super popular song from our generation.
And I don't know who sings it.
All right, let's see who chimed in. Will chimed in. Who do you got?
Nirvana. Smells Like Teen Spirit.
That's exactly right, man.
I remember the melody, but I didn't know what it was.
Did he?
He has a dope cover of this. He has two different versions. He got one version with just him and the bass player.
Yeah.
And he's playing piano. There's another one with his full group.
We got to play that because somebody else has a cover of this.
It's sick.
It wasn't
like Jay-Z has a cover of this.
Does he?
Is he?
Of some sort. But yeah. He includes that.
Oh, that's what's
nice.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Now,
nice.
Bonus.
Not bonus.
1996.
Bonus.
Oh.
All right. Yeah.
Killed himself.
Yeah, see, there's so many popular songs.
Courtney
from Generation
Love.
X, man.
He's married to Courtney Love. He killed himself. Suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
Remember that?
Was it Queen back then? Is that in our
70s?
Queen was before Nirvana.
Before. Okay.
Nirvana was our. This is Generation X.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Did you see? I just saw that the other day.
That movie was good.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I just saw that like Wednesday.
They did so many popular songs. I knew there was, but I didn't know they. I was like, you did that one too? Oh, and that one?
I've always been a fan of it. Like, Freddie Mercury is dope.
Yeah.
And I didn't know until the movie, the guy said, you know, we're just a bunch of queens making music. And I thought, all of them were gay?
were all of them? I thought just the one, and then the other one was undecided.
I don't know, but when he said that, it made me, like, think. I was like, what? Because he said, we're just a bunch of queens, all of us trying to make music. And I thought, did he mean just the name queen, or like my friends say, queen?
So then they were all frivolously freaking.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out.
That was the style.
Shout out to my friend.
Shout out to the LB.
Shout out to my friend who was the tour guide that I had in London. And he actually was telling us on We Will Rock You when he was a youngster.
Rocking the bed?
No. When he were youngsters, they took the song to record it at this particular studio. I got to visit it. And the dude that was owning it, his son and the guy that's giving the tour were actually friends. And so when he was going in, the engineer of that studio house, Queen wasn't even in the building. He was like, he was trying to figure out what he wanted to do to kind of make the song pop. So he told his son, hey, grab your friends and come in here and clap. And so they're the ones. Boom, boom. Yeah, that's the engineer's son and his friends are the ones that's doing the clap. On We Will Slap. They came in and they just clapped to that song. And so that's his claim to fame. And one of the things is he never tells people until he gets on that tour. One day he just happened to mention it and people were like, really? That was you? And the, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then it was like, oh, people actually care. So now he tells it every time he gives that tour.
I can see how he would think they wouldn't.
Yeah, right? You would think that they wouldn't care, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's a huge song. Clap. And so, yeah, that's the point.
My now, patented clap.
If he came out and said it on his own, people like, so?
Yeah, people be like, so. Right. But here's the thing now.
Some people would be trying to fight for some money. For
that's my point. He's like, yeah, and it's years later. Who thought of that as a kid? But years later, like, that song is huge, and that is my collab. Like,
that's hilarious.
Huh?
Write me my check. Where's my check?
Right, where's my check for my collab?
Funny is, like, anybody that played Babe Ruth or little, played Babe Ruth baseball, that was always the thing you would do.
Yeah.
You'd be like, we will. That was part of the chant in the dugout. Boom, boom, slap.
Right, yeah. That's them, man. All right, here it is. Next question. Here we go. Huge record from the 90s. Boom. First person to chime in was Anthony. He's like, I'll just chime it in because I wanted to.
He didn't want Will to win.
I wanted to be Will.
He clicked it. I was like, I was in my mind. I was like, go home with your best.
Yeah, he went to his.
Look at me.
And then he decided. He was like, look at you. Yeah.
Did you say?
Who was it?
See,
it's where's the name of the song?
My bad.
It's getting kind of.
How about this? Can anybody tell me the name of the song?
Power.
Yeah.
Cool. So we got one person that has the name of the song, and we still have nobody. The name of the song was Power. Anthony, great job. But we still don't have the person that sung it because it was not CNC Music Factory.
And
it was not CNC Music Factory.
And Nesby.
Was it Lady from CNC Music Factory?
Snickety.
Is it really?
Snap. Oh. Snap, snap, snap.
Yeah. Remember there was two? And then they had a little argument. Like the one group, the one just the singing part. That part.
I got the power?
And they were saying it was two different, so it was out.
Was it CNC that did it?
Well, find out.
We'll give it to Anthony. He got the name.
It's not over yet. So what's the score?
So here it is. We have one more. Currently, Will is winning with three. Anthony has two.
I tried to tell you. I gave you.
He does this every Nirvana song. I know.
Hey, this is a global show.
I thought they were just broadcast on 92nd and between 92nd
you know
and
80th. We're not just listening to the songs from 92nd to 103rd. Right?
Oh, no.
We're listening to all records.
I might have played a lot of Nirvana on Guitar Hero.
Hey, there you go. See?
That's true.
These songs are huge. Like, yeah. No, really, though. But
no, I know they got
I remember the first time I slam danced was to that Teen Spirit. Walnut Creek.
That club on the corner.
I have no idea what it was called. I do remember I was on a date and we went to this slam dance club.
They took me. That was interesting.
Yeah, and I was completely thrown off. That shows you can't stereotype.
What's slam dancing?
When everybody knocking to each other.
This was a sister.
Slap each other with their bodies.
This was a sister like, in Hayward.
Oh. It's not really dancing. It's kind of like mosh pit. It's not really dancing. You just bouncing people.
It was a sister in Hayward that took me to this party in Walnut Creek, and it was not full of white people. It was full of black people, and they were playing Teen Spirit, and they were slam dancing. And I was like,
This seems like
this would turn into violence. Really?
Yeah, no, I did. Because people,
I was concerned that it was going to turn into
a hip hop concert.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, right. Don't you ever do it?
Right.
So just throwing it out, man. Like, you know, yeah.
That's cool. That's
which good. Does right. actually speak a lot to the type to how music could influence.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. Because
they were
the music.
Doing this stuff that some, like you said, that you would think it would have turned into something.
Right.
If they'd have changed the song. Right. NWA would have right. with the movie
or maybe
changed.
They just
well, here's the thing. I was in Mississippi, and they were slam dancing, but they called it something else. I can't remember, but it was a club. They were playing the what's It wasn't Crunk yet. It was before that with
Luke Skywalker.
My man from CeeLo? No, from Masterpiece Crew.
Mystical.
It was during that time. Point. It was during that era. What'd you say?
Is that a bonus point?
Yeah, there you go. Bonus point. No, look at you. Yeah, but they were, hey, once again, blacks slam dancing, but they called it something else. They were throwing their elbows and all that.
Oh, bows.
Yeah, throwing bows.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Throwing bows.
Yeah, they was doing that, and they was bumping in and jumping, and that didn't turn into violence. Now, there was violence later. Side note. But
they go, maybe everyone was using it as a way to get their stress out, get their aggression out, jump around and burn some energy.
Yeah, jump around. Oh,
yeah, remember that? Oh, yeah. Jump up and get down.
Yeah,
that was safer than the slam dance, I think, was jumping.
So here, all right, here's our last one, and this will break. This will either make it a tie, or Will can win, or Keisha can just destroy all your. All right,
how come Keisha? Look, can I talk Keisha out of her point?
There you go. If it's a Nirvana song, yeah.
All right, I see buttons ready. Here we go. Yes, I see Keisha has chimed in first.
Dang it.
Is it Maya?
Nope. It is not Maya. Ooh, good call, though. Good try, though. It's not Maya. The next person to chime in was actually Will.
I'm so into you.
Tamia. Ah. There it is.
Ashanti.
Tamia.
Right, Ashanti. And it sounded around that same time.
Right.
Well, you know, it was funny. Well, it was funny. I was thinking it was a later song.
There it is, man. The generation day.
If you listen to me closely, I'll tell you what I know. Storm clouds are gathering. The wind is gonna blow.
Her name is Justice.
The reason why I love you is because I was in the county jail. You sent me all them nice poems.
To escape the violence of the streets, she needed the poetry in her heart.
You've got to move on. There's another man out there somewhere.
His name is Lucky.
What y'all niggas doing?
Looking for some busters to jack.
To face the madness around him, all he had was the music in his soul. Fate brought them together.
This is Justice. Justice, this is Lucky. And you already know Chicago.
What's up, baby?
Baby.
Anger kept them apart.
I'm a black woman, okay? I deserve respect.
Walk your ass home.
But for both of them.
Girl, you know he tripping because he like you.
The road ahead was the only way to leave the pain behind.
I heard from a friend today, and she said you were in town.
Columbia Pictures presents a story about losing your fear and finding your way.
What do you write about?
I write what's in my heart.
What's that?
Janet Jackson. Tupac Shakur. Poetic Justice. From the creator of Boys in the Hood.
You're listening to Generation X on KCBZ. That was the trailer to Poetic Justice. A classic film hit the scene in 93. Sorry, I lost track right there. What's funny?
That song don't match that movie.
Oh, the song?
Done her from a friend today.
Right. And
that don't match that movie.
Hey.
And I'm like, it's.
Well, yeah, it matched Regina King's. She heard from Regina, who said, you want to go on a road trip. You know what I'm saying?
Or at the end where.
When he came back, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because it kind of ended with them in a friend state. Mm-hmm. Although you knew where it was going. But right. It did kind of end in a friend state. Man, what. Do you remember the first time you saw that movie?
Yes.
Yeah. Where were you?
I don't believe I saw it in the theater.
Okay.
I think I waited till it came out.
Okay.
You can watch it on Hulu.
I just enjoyed it at the house, you know?
Yeah.
Or on cable TV.
Went down to Blockbuster.
Maybe it came on HBO or something like that.
Went down to Blockbuster and grabbed it.
Yeah.
What year was it again it came out?
93.
Yeah. So I was in the 10th grade.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
He like, I'm going to tell you what grade you was in. You don't know how old you is. I'm going to tell you how old you was and where you was at.
Well, I remember I saw the Grand Lake.
Oh, did
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Okay.
I just remember going to see it because it was a lot of Oakland was in it.
Yeah, yeah.
They had the lake. Yeah. And I remember they were filming it.
Yeah.
So I remember over there being off wanting to see it because a lot of it was shot in Oakland.
Right.
And not
right.
waiting to see it. I can't wait to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it should be as popular of a movie as it is considered to be?
Well, here's the thing. Is mm-hmm. When I think about it, I can't separate myself from today to when I first seen it. So
okay,
it's hard. I can't tell how I felt when I first saw it, but I think it was important because it was completely different than movies that you saw black people in.
Okay.
Typically.
Okay.
And it had elements of like gang, but that was very brief in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where he got killed. But it wasn't really about that. It was really about relationships
mm-hmm.
and healing. And that was something that was different that you saw in black movies.
Yeah.
Especially in that time because it wasn't really heavily gangster. It wasn't really, you know, a violent movie. Mm-hmm. It touched on some stereotypes, but at the same time, there was a humanity to it.
Right.
Which we didn't really get the benefit of that in the 90s. It was very rare.
Right.
And so I appreciate that aspect. I just don't know if I appreciate it then or if I'm appreciating it now.
Got you.
So, but I've always felt that when I think about that. Like, it yeah. was different. I know some people don't like it, but uh-huh. I think it was different for us.
Yeah.
It put us in a whole different light.
Yeah.
You know? And it was just, you know, a road trip movie. You know, it was a rom-com right. if you really think about it.
Right.
You know? It had the cheesy elements, but it was us. It was from our point of view.
Keisha.
I loved it because Janet Jackson probably wasn't portrayed as a woman that was from the other side of the tracks, mm-hmm. but that was what a lot of young women could relate to. Mm-hmm. You know, the having loss, dealing with pain, trying to heal, and finding something to express yourself creatively, and having an outlet, and mm-hmm. then kind of like opening herself up and letting herself be vulnerable. I thought it was a great movie from that aspect.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
another good love story.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, another thing when you said that.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
But that kind of opened the door to the whole neo soul poetry movement too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a whole new thing, and then all these poetry clubs started popping up. It was the neo soul kind of jazz with the music,
yeah,
mm-hmm. with the poetry. That was kind of the whole thing, and then the whole revitalization of Maya Angelou, mm-hmm. and people recognizing Maya and rediscovering Maya Angelou. So it opened that whole new world too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Be. Yes, I would say I think the power that movie played was actually in the total culture mm-hmm. of black cinematography and black hip hop mm-hmm. and, you know, just the whole culture was shifting. Mm-hmm. Because you look at John Singleton when he dropped Boys in the Hood, it was like, boom. You know what I'm saying? You had this movie come out that like really kind of hit home,
mm-hmm.
but it was about hitting home in the streets. And then here it was, still talking about two individuals. Once again, yeah, it's representing Oakland, so mm-hmm. I'm loving that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tupac is in it, so yep, mm-hmm. I'm loving that. Janet Jackson's in it, yep, I'm loving that. You got all those elements that make it just great, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But then the writing in itself is just being able to show the other side of the same community, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, so it's not taking it out of the hood. It's not taking it out of our community. You went from LA to Oakland, and it was still, and I loved how it tied those two cities,
mm-hmm.
but it still kept it with, there's this family value that's still there. Like when they went to the family reunion, they mm-hmm. said, Uncle Pete.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Little Lucky. Like,
yeah. Little Lucky. Little you know lucky. What I'm saying? And they got in there, and then you saw the elderly women educating the young women,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying, and they was dropping this knowledge, and it was kind of like Furious in Boys to Men, where he dropped that knowledge on the street level, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, and but here it is, he let the men drop the knowledge on that one,
yeah,
but now here we are on Poetic Justice, and it's centered around Janet yeah. and this woman growing and coming into her own and dealing with what it's like, and he allows the matriarchs of the family to actually drop knowledge in that movie, you know what I'm saying, and have Maya Angelou in there speak, but it was a realism. It wasn't like so.
Yeah, it wasn't like fluffy. And
yeah, it wasn't fluffy.
It wasn't so far-fetched that you couldn't imagine it happening in your own family or
community. And it was street without being street. It was like, okay, I grew up in this type of situation.
Exactly.
And it wasn't like she wasn't walking around afraid of her life. She was living her life.
Exactly.
And the lady owned the hair salon. Lucky had a job. They worked at the post office. Like, everybody worked.
Yes.
Nobody was drug dealers.
Yes.
Nobody
was drug. Exactly. Right.
There was no drug element or street element, even though he got killed in the beginning.
Right.
You know, but that was more of, like, they pushed away from it.
And I also think that tied it, because it's like, so when you look at, I almost see Poetic Justice and Boys in the Hood as a continued story almost, or a lens movie, so to speak. So it's like, here's this happening in L.A. And we also know that this is happening in Oakland when we're looking at Boys in the Hood. But then while this is happening,
there's life.
This is happening. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think about when I think about my childhood coming up, I was very much like Lucky in the sense of many of my folks was actually the Boys in the Hoods. You know what I'm saying? And I was with them. If you were to put me in that movie, I was probably Sharif throwing up in the toilet praying to that porcelain god. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you're still in that life, but you know, in the lifestyle, but you still have this other goal and dream of doing music and wanting to get out and wanting to do something different, but you're still lodged in this community.
Right.
And you know, and the sisters in the community, and you know, everybody wasn't a gangbanger.
Right.
In the hood.
Right.
And there was no sense of hopelessness either.
Right. It wasn't a sense of hopelessness.
You know, like,
right,
there was nobody was stuck.
Right.
You know?
It's just like, this is a real story. Yeah. And I really appreciated that from that movie.
Me too.
Yeah.
I was just piggybacking what you said.
Yeah.
It was very appreciated because it let the young people know that you're not all seen in the same light.
Right.
To me.
Or seeing yourself in the same light.
Right, yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
And this is a way that she got through it, so maybe you can too. It was very encouraging.
Very encouraging. Mm-hmm. Very encouraging movie. Thumbs up to Poetic Justice?
Oh, yeah. Anything with Janet.
Could Poetic Justice...
Most definitely.
Would that movie make it now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a classic.
Okay.
I think if
they released it right now,
I think they could release it right now as is.
As is.
As is.
Same effect.
I don't think you would even have to adjust anything.
Wow.
They might have a cell phone, but
right?
Like they drove to Oakland with no map. Without no Waze.
That's unheard of nowadays.
Without Waze. Like, how did you guys get back and forth between LA and Oakland?
Yeah. Yeah, so that would be something they have to figure out. How'd you get sidetracked? How'd you get turn around? Yeah. Keisha, would it make it today?
Well, I think they'd have to make a few changes. I think it'd make it today though. Yeah. I think the basic storyline, they might have to change it just to fit in today's society, you know? Maybe it wouldn't be him dying from murder. Maybe he'd be dying from prescription medication or something like that. And so it might be a little different in some aspects, but I think it can make it.
Can you draw a parallel from Poetic Justice to Green Book? Besides it just, I mean, granted, it is a traveling movie. There's a car moving from a place. But would you call it, because to me in Green Book, there's this relationship that gets built on the road.
I think it's two different roads.
Two different roads.
Two different roads.
So that's too far away to even see the comparison.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know Green Book, but I know I've gone on road trips, you know, and you probably can draw a parallel between them or see one, because a lot of times it's about a person not having as many distractions. So they can kind of look at each other for the person that they are in their rarest form. You know, you can't hide from me because I've been looking at you this whole time.
Right.
And they didn't have cell phones back then. So I would assume, yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't think Green Book was honest. And I feel like Poetic Justice was honest at its core.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
I feel like the point of the movies were different.
I kept it there.
In terms of the relationships between the two building this relationship on the road, because there was definitely the beginning and the end of their road trip had different viewpoints based on the time they spent together.
I think it was more driving Miss Daisy than It's more like driving Miss Daisy.
Really, driving Miss Daisy. Oh, okay. I can actually see that compared to Green Book as well. I always have so much fun with the two of you. Thank you. Special thanks to Anthony for hanging out with us today. Great joy. Hopefully you'll come back and hang out with us again.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Final words. I feel like I better get mine in for Keisha. Melody again, but so I'm throwing mine in first today. Final words from me is, it was super hard to pick Jodeci over Boyz II Men. My final words is, I think it could really be a tie, but Jodeci won today on the show. Hey, yeah. Final words.
It wasn't that difficult.
What difficult?
Watch. Who do I pick between Boyz II Men and Jodeci? Jodeci.
His final words is, that's some boo.
Hey, I don't know what he's talking about.
Tell the children the truth.
Sick of him. Sick of it.
Keisha, final words.
Oh, I hope everyone enjoys the rest of their day. I've had a great day so far. And thanks, guys, for having me out again.
So positive.
Always. Yeah. I love it. Until next time, man.
Tell the children the truth.
Tell the children the truth. They're the winners, so we'll go out with them. Jodeci, come and talk to me.
Come and talk to me. I really want to meet you, girl. I really want to know your name.